can remember. Remember the deep water. I think we're going to jump into some more deep water. Turn over to Galatians 5:22. We talked for about 3 weeks on one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit of peace. We're going to go to your favorite one of patience today. And most people groan when you talk about patience. My goal is when you get through, you're going to go, I am so excited about patience, I can't wait. I'm going to give it to you from a whole different perspective. More of the first of the year topic. You're probably right. Let's pray over the finances. Forgot to do that at the announcements. If you're one that you give enough to be able to deduct your finances, I don't. It has to be, it's such a, like, with three kids and the standard deductible. But then you want to give today, because today is the last day of the year. And that's the reason I was saying that, because some people need, we always send out receipts, but some people need to get off their taxes. Mine's like $12,000 before I can write it off my taxes, and I don't give that much. So let's just pray over that. Boy, I got sidetracked. Just shoot that rabbit. Where's the hunter? Let's just kill this thing. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for the ability to worship you with our spirit, soul, and body, which includes our finances from work, our blood, sweat, and tears. And Father, we just give to you cheerfully, and we just praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As you're turning to Galatians 5:22 and 23, let me just follow up on something I said about 3 weeks ago. About 3 weeks ago, I talked about battling a control spirit. We called it a Jezebel spirit, and I said that women would be a major part of that. Let me just take about 2 minutes and just follow that up. We don't exalt women more than men. We celebrate masculinity and we celebrate femininity. I said both of those without tripping over myself. That's impressive. And we want to walk together. But the reason we talk about women and their place in the church is because the church is about 30 years behind the world in this. The world is all, you know, talking about women's place in the workplace and all that, and that's a God thing. And we're still battling for that in the church world. And there's a book out there that I wrote, a little manual called How Can Women Minister to Men? It's satirical. The answer is obviously yes. It talks about the three verses and what we believe on that. But I just want to say this, because this is what I often see in a church, is when a man is passionate and bold, they say he's a great leader, he's aggressive, and we like him. When a woman is passionate and bold, and you're struggling with this issue, what do they say? You're controlling and have a Jezebel spirit. So that's all I want to talk about today. It's just nonsense. Why does it not apply to men and apply to women? It's just a way to try to get you to be quiet. And so just ignore that. We love boldness. We love passionate. You can be bold and passionate without controlling. It all boils down to this. We want you to, if you're not bold and passionate about your ideas, then your ideas are probably not that great. Okay? That's just sort of the bottom line. And you can be bold and passionate without making me believe your ideas. That's where the controlling is. You know, we want to hear them. If any man or pastor tries to make you believe their ideas, then they're a controlling person. We want bold, we want creativity, we want passion. And if it's of God, it'll be obvious and people will just sort of start doing it. And so don't buy in. If you're a woman, if you've ever heard that, well, you're too bold, you're too passionate, you're too aggressive. Well, that's just, men need to be taught their masculinity too. It's you can be a male and be in the presence of a strong female without being a weaker male. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? I mean, that's the way it should be. I just want to throw that out, though. I often see that double standards. Galatians 5:22. We're going to have fun with this. I'm going to read to you out of the Amplified. Okay, well, there's the NIV. You can follow along there, too. I usually do the NIV. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within us accomplishes, is love, joy, peace. We talked about 3 weeks on peace, how it's a weapon of soldiers is peace. patience. In the King James it says, in the NIV it says forbearance there. And what that means is patiently enduring. And here's the other ones: kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I don't plan on going through all nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. I think this is it, peace and patience. But I want to talk to you about patience. I think it's gotten a bad rap. Because this is the deal. When you're walking with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to learn patience. Patience is a major characteristic that you need to be a soldier in God's army to not get killed. Patience is God's way of saying, move now, don't move now. Stop, slow down. Or else you're going to get ahead of the army and you're going to get shot and blame God when I told you to slow down. Patience is a major characteristic needed to be a partner with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, you are here on earth not just to hang on until you die and go to heaven. You are here to partner with Him to bring His agenda into the earth. And so patience is learning to be a partner with Him. Let's talk about that a little bit. There's a lot of things I want to talk about patience. Today I want to talk about it teaches you three things. Now what I mean by patience is when you want to do something and He's just not giving the green light to it. Or you have been praying about it over and over and begging and crying and sobbing and it's still not happening. That's where we need patience, endurance, because you're wanting to move, He's not moving. And He's not moving the way we want Him to move. There's just something in us that when we're ready to do it, we're ready to do it. Especially in America. You can get food any time of the night or day. You can get your prescription any time in the night or day. You can do anything. I'm old enough to remember when stores were closed on Sunday. How many of you old dudes still remember that? I can remember when Walmart was not open at night. Is there any other people that way? I don't remember this because I grew up in Atlanta, but my wife grew up in a little town named Griffin. She said Wednesday afternoon all the stores closed out of respect for Wednesday church. If they did that in Atlanta, I don't remember that. I think Atlanta was more secular by then. But I remember all of that. And then, I love going to stores on Sunday and after. I don't have a problem with that and all night long. But that does put us, if we want something, we're going to do it now, especially with the internet. I remember when you'd sit around, I'm old enough, you'd sit around the table and you would argue over facts during the day or trivial type stuff. And, you'd eventually figure out who was right. Well, now that's not fun anymore. All you got to do is Google it. And the person that didn't even get out of kindergarten knows the answer. You get your answers now. You can do everything now. But I'm telling you, God doesn't always work that way. And this is where the patience comes in, going, okay, as an American, I can do this, but as a Christian American, He just doesn't always flow with me. He's teaching us three things. Let me tell you, what patience is a gift. The first thing He teaches us is whose agenda are we going to follow? Okay, what do I mean by this? How many times have you not wanted to do something? You didn't even ask God because you were afraid of the answer He would give you. So you'd go ahead and do it and then maybe ask forgiveness later. Nobody's ever done that in here, right? Nobody's that one person. Honestly, what did she say? The devil cannot bother her today because she's honest or transparent. When I ask God, should I do this or not? What I'm doing is I'm submitting myself to whose agenda am I going to follow? Now, as I've gotten more mature, I don't know if I've gotten more mature. I've just gotten old enough to make a lot of mistakes that you start to realize maybe every once in a while I'm not always right. It doesn't happen very often, but sometimes. And so when I so now I start going, okay, Lord, what do you want? Because I know when I follow Him, it avoids the mistakes. Are you tracking with me? And so it reveals in me, when I don't have patience, it shows who's really first in my life. It teaches who's first. Because if it's really God, and we really believe that it's God, and we really believe that He loves us, and He has His best interests at our heart, then we have to say, okay, His agenda is before my agenda, and I'm willing to be patient. Now, that's harder said than done, but it does teach us that. Now, of those few times, maybe it's more than a few, I've asked the Lord, okay, what do you want to do? In terms of agenda, it teaches me two things. Sometimes He speaks quickly, sometimes He doesn't. But it shows me two things. One, sometimes He wants to do something different, believe it or not, than what I wanted to do. And you know, in the end, it was actually better than my idea. But I didn't have His perspective. Patience gives us His perspective. Patience forces me to slow down and cook my own hamburger instead of going to Checkers and get a better deal because I get a different perspective. It forces me to slow down and go, let me see it from His perspective. And I'm telling you, when you see it from His perspective, you'll be glad you waited. But it is hard, isn't it, to slow down. The hormones are going, the thought processes are going, this is the best idea on the planet. Those are usually the ones that get me in trouble. The more radical the idea it is, I try to wait at least 24 hours before I actually do it. Half the time I go, that was stupid. What was I thinking of? But patience teaches us that a lot of times He wants to do something different, and I guarantee you, it is better. It may be hard to see sometimes, but patience gives us His perspective. Here's another thing. A lot of times, His showing the agenda is He may want to do that, but His timing is very different than us. Timing in the Spirit is a big deal. It's just a big deal. And so this is the second thing. First thing is He teaches us whose agenda is first. The second is He teaches us that inactivity is not no activity. This is one of the biggest things I've had to learn as a Christian. Just because He's not saying do it now, just because He's not saying anything it looks like, doesn't mean that something is not happening. Well, what's happening? Why is it taking them so long? This is what I've often found. A lot of times, many times, what you know that you're to do is right. That's half the challenge. You know it's right. How come it's not happening? The direction and the timing, you've got to have both. You could be going in the right direction, but the wrong timing, it messes everything up. Right? Do we trust the Lord enough that even if we got the right direction, we got it right on the timing? This is a small example, but it's one that comes to my mind. I've been going back through my journal. It's the first time I've ever done it, looking at whatever I wrote in my journal. And I've written down prophecies and encouragements. Something I've noticed, I was looking over the last 10 years of prophecies over a relationship church. Starting all the way back from 10 years ago. Cool, you get excited about prophecies. How many of you got a prophecy that you're still waiting on? It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Almost every one of the prophecies of a relationship church, only in the last year am I starting to see movement on them. I'm talking 8 to 9 years. Is God that slow? A lot of times, the answer obviously is no. A lot of the times, He gives us these prophecies to keep us encouraged that I haven't forgotten about you. You do have a, as Jeremiah 29:11 says, a hope and a future. But this is what often happens. of whatever He's directing you in that requires patience, or in prophecies, as one of them is one. God may be waiting on others and not you. See, we always think it's about us. One of the prophecies was 10 years ago. I was in Dominican Republic, and I saw a map of Northwest Georgia just in my mind, map of Northwest Georgia. And I saw like a huge like water drop hit the middle of the map, and there's like ripples like at a lake. You know, like a rock being dropped into it, like ripples coming out of a lake. And I heard the Lord clearly and said, your music will cause an earthquake. Talking about not my music. You know how good my music is. You're talking about relationship, church. Your music will cause an earthquake in Northwest Georgia. Only last year did I start seeing some evidences of that when we started doing joint services with other churches. And we started playing some. I know in the spirit things happen. I know here, but to fulfill that. And it's nowhere near the beginning of that. So how is that going to happen? I don't know. But that's a perfect example. The music of Northwest Georgia is waiting on other people. Definitely a team, because I can't play. And I think it's also waiting on a region to catch up. Or not to catch up, but to be in a place where we can affect them. Only did last year to even start doing things with other churches. For 9 years, nobody wanted to have anything to do with us. But it's changed. Yesterday we had two other pastors in here. We prayed it from 8 to 9 o'clock. You have to be spiritual to get here at 8 o'clock and pray. But I wasn't one. They forced me into it. But we prayed from 8 to 9 here. And so only was there ever an opportunity. So, patience may not be about you. Many times He is waiting on others. And some of the things that you know you're to do, some of the things prophesied over you, cannot happen because they involved others, and they might not even be saved yet. They may not even be walking with God yet. So He's got to walk with, pull them up to come alongside you. Don't ever give up on the Word. This is where you're just going to be endurance. Patience sometimes is just endurance. It's just resting. Two, He may be waiting on circumstances. I'm making this up, but maybe you've been prophesied for an inheritance money-wise or a job. Well, you know, as soon as you get those, I'm just here to tell you, as soon as you get most prophecies, it's probably not going to happen tomorrow. I'm not sure they're going to happen as long as Relationship Church. But generally, the ones I talked about earlier, but generally the more bigger is not the right word, the more dramatic the prophetic word, the longer the time it comes about. Okay, here's Joseph in the Bible. He gets this vision of your brothers are going to be bowing down to you, and you're going to be like the sun. You know, now he made a mistake. He should have held on to that thing. He shared that. They got ticked at him and threw him in a slave pit. Okay? But it was decades before that thing happened. Why? Because it was so earth-shattering. He had to become the right-hand man of the Pharaoh, and he didn't even understand that. Who knows what he thought, but he didn't think it was going to come out the way it did. So, but he had to wait on the circumstances of him becoming the right-hand man of Pharaoh before they came and begged him for food. He had no idea. That's where the patience comes from. How many times when he was in prison, falsely accused, he's going, man, I don't believe this prophetic stuff. This is just junk. I don't believe in dreams. I don't believe in visions. I don't believe in what God's put in my heart. I don't believe what He's told me. See, you can't give up on it because the circumstances haven't aligned yet. And that's where the patience comes in. Patience is actually keeping us from messing the whole thing up. If that dude at 16 years old, Joseph, had happened to him, he would have been a dictator. He would have been a monster, man. He didn't know how to control his emotions. He was selfish. He was ambitious. Who knows what all was going on? We're glad he had to wait. But the Lord still gives it to us. It's like what I prophesied over that guy that was 75, wasn't even saved. Here it is. See, the Lord leads with the best for your life. And so patience is a gift. And just so a lot of times you go, what am I doing wrong? I'm here to tell you, if you're walking with God, doing the best that you know how, and you know you're not overtly sinning, when you sin, you confess this, you're not going to miss the will of God, and you're doing His will. Relax, chillax, chill out. Well, why isn't it happening? You know, it may not be the right time. The circumstances haven't lined up. He's waiting on other people. And He may be waiting on you to change. That's the third thing. Sometimes we have to change to be able to be and handle the power of the right hand of the Pharaoh. But this is what I want you to know, and we'll end with this. This is what I want you to know. You can trust God. It comes down to this. Do you believe God is good and He's on your side? Or we're going to try to fight and claw for everything that we have because we don't think we're going to get it any other way. If you get it from God, you'll never have to fight to keep it. If you fight to get it, you'll have to fight to keep it. That's why so many leaders are insecure about their positions, because they fought to get there. And they know if some other body comes along and fights harder than them, it'll take their position. But if God gave it to you, He'll keep you there. David is the perfect example of this. He was prayed over by Samuel to be king. It was, don't hold me to it, you teachers, but somewhere, I think 15 years later, 17 years later, it was a long time later, that he finally became and took the office of king. I mean, he had a prophet show up, go through six brothers, call him out of the field, and for a decade and a half, he's running for his life from the king. How many of you feel that way with the promises God's given you? I'm telling you, just relax. It's going to happen. Just say, Father, in your time, help me to seek your agenda first. Help change me if I need to. Align the circumstances however you need to align them. Get other people on. Patience, when it's not happening now, you don't want it to happen now because you will mess it up. So here David, he becomes king. He finally gets to be king. There's a lot to his story, to his life. And then his son, Absalom, rebels and tries to take the kingdom from him and does a coup and take it over. And so what happens? Hey, just come on in and have a seat if you want to. And so he's about taking it over. And so what happens? He doesn't fight his son. Think about that. Think how crazy that is. He doesn't fight him. He was prophesied over. He was promoted. And he said, God put me here. I will not fight to stay here. That's patience. That's endurance. And he actually has to leave the castle or palace or whatever for a little while. God dealt with it. Absalom unnaturally gets killed. Let's stand. Amen. We're getting through early today. It's all good, though. Yeah, I want you.